Live. Yes, indeed. Deep Fat Fried. We had to fucking, it sucks because, you know, we're in LA. We had to fly all the way back down here just to do this one show. And we got to fly all the way back. And it's like, I wish we had just recorded these, you know, in advance, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That would have been smart. No, actually, we did record these in advance. You know what's happening right now, TJ?
What's
that? As the plebs are watching this right now, every hot chick that came to the DFF meetup in LA is blowing me.
Wow.
Right now.
Every single
Isn't
one.
Isn't it awesome? To know that me now in the future is getting like an 8-way blowjob from the hottest chicks you've ever seen.
Well, yeah. And they Paul, and the sad thing is that all these people at home, not in LA, watching this.
I mean,
could
in fairness,
there,
Paul.
Just stupid.
That's only two girls, the only two that showed up. But
well, still,
that's still two more than you guys are having.
Yeah, it's one more double blowjob than you guys are getting.
TJ, I have a complaint about the intro, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I attack first,
right?
So then Paul attacks, and then you fucking glory grab and chop its head off.
Yeah, correct.
So we soften it up, do all the hard work. Like I stun it, Paul fucking shoots its goddamn tentacles off, and then you just jump off and get to do an easy little chop.
Yeah.
What did you contribute, really?
I disabled
the fucking
thing. I contributed striking the final blow. That's what I contributed.
So you showed up and finished the job after we did all the hard work?
Yeah. As it should be.
Just a slimy mess, like, please don't hurt me anymore. You're like,
Yeah.
Dude, you're like, what's that guy's name? Oh, you're like Optimus Prime in that fucking terrible Transformers movie. Megatron's all like, please, I am sickly and weak. Die, bitch!
Yeah.
That's you, dude.
And Optimus Prime is a fucking hero for it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, hey, you guys can criticize all you want, but the fact remains that I'm the best, and you guys suck. Anyway, today we have... there's no point really shilling Patreon, because, you know, by the time that this comes out, we'll have 20 million patrons.
Yeah.
And
we won't need any more.
We'll be
patrons.
Done. I mean, you know, we don't need any more. But today's topic is Nintendo 64 versus PlayStation 1, the original PlayStation. You know, we did an episode on SNES versus Sega Genesis, and it was one of the most fun episodes, I feel like.
Yeah, had a lot of fun with it.
Among my favorites, maybe even my very favorite that we've done.
This one here, very contentious.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, the next gen of the console wars. Sega's kind of out of the picture at this point.
Well, the Sega Saturn did compete, but...
Barely.
Barely.
Yeah, the Saturn and the Dreamcast were, you know, they just didn't really do much for Sega, and Sega kind of fell off. But a new competitor emerged for Nintendo in the form of Sony. There was a pretty intense battle, although I don't think it rose to the level of intensity and rivalry.
This one is more one-sided, if you go from a commercial perspective.
Right, because, not to spoil things or anything, but in terms of sales and stuff, you know, there's a clear winner.
There is a clear winner.
So, in 1989, Nintendo introduced the Super Famicom, Super Nintendo, whatever. Within a couple years, rivals had introduced 32-bit systems that eclipsed, you know, the capabilities of the Super Nintendo. So Nintendo announced an agreement with Silicon Graphics Inc., SGI, to develop a new 64-bit video game system. Because we're still in the bit wars at this point. I mean,
right.
Nintendo put the fucking amount of bits right there in the goddamn system name.
64 was the highest the bit wars ever really
went,
right?
Really.
There was a system, I think, that tried to come out with some, like, we're 128 bits or something, but no one gave a shit by then. Right. Everyone, people were just like,
the Jaguar.
Fuck.
Wasn't the Jaguar or whatever, the Atari
some,
Jaguar?
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah. And it's just like, eh, no one cares about bits anymore. And, you know, now you don't hear anyone fucking talking about the goddamn bits, right. You know? No one's like, man, the fucking PS4 is a 7,948-bit system.
The thing is,
the
graphics now speak for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bits was just a stand-in for, like, our graphics are good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's a buzzword.
You know, Synergy. And last time when we talked about bits, people were like, actually, bits means, I mean, yeah, maybe that's what it actually means, but for the purposes of this marketing war that was going on, all it meant was, oh, graphics,
look,
better.
I understand there's, like, computer programmers in our audience, and yeah, bits mean something, but to the average schlub on the street,
to all the kids
the
having
was,
these fights,
this is better,
you know?
Graphics.
To all the kids having the fights in middle school and junior high and shit about bits, none of them
know
what the fuck a bit was, okay?
They didn't know what a fucking bit was.
And to this day, I really don't have a good idea what a fucking bit is, and I don't give a shit.
Not in my wheelhouse.
I don't give a bit. Although, you know, this Silicon Graphics Inc. that Nintendo went to, they'd never really done video game design before, but they were a company that was regarded as leaders in, you know, computer graphics technology. So it's like, okay, we're in good hands.
So a natural fit, basically.
So after several years of development, the system was finally released in 1996 as the Nintendo 64, but the delays and a shortage of games during the first year of availability gave the advantage to Sony, who had released the PlayStation over a year earlier.
What's interesting about this, too, is that Sony was actually helping Nintendo to develop an optical-based system.
Get a little bit more on your mic, Scotty.
And that ended up being abandoned. So actually, Sony and Nintendo were actually kind of working together before the PS1 was even a thing.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
and the N64 probably would have been a much better system if it had had the optical drive.
Oh, remember we were...
Cart gaming was on its way out. I mean, there's only so much you can do.
We remember when we were kids, TJ, it was released, or there was the promo was the Ultra 64. And it, the big thing they even said at the time, the rumors were like, it's going to be CD-based, it's going to be optical-based. And that's why that went away.
Yeah, I remember when I was, you know, I used to read Nintendo Power all the time.
Yeah.
It's Nintendo's little magazine, and... I remember seeing the early ads for, like, we're developing the Ultra 64.
Yeah, they even had pictures of it.
Yeah, I could probably pull
like
up a
prototype
picture.
Pictures and shit.
Let's see if I can find an Ultra 64 picture to put up on here.
But yeah, I was pretty jazzed about it because at that time I had just started, like, PC gaming. And PC gaming at that time was just transferring to CD-based as well from floppy. And it was incredible. Like, the types of games we were getting on PC were just... So I knew moving to an optical drive was going to unlock a lot of that quality.
Yeah.
But there's a lot,
home console.
But there was a lot of issues with them working together. I forget the guy's name in particular, but... So there's a lot of these issues. So Nintendo basically and Sony or SGI, they go their separate ways, and they ended up developing that into the PlayStation 1, and Nintendo 64 sticks with the cartridges.
So the Ultra 64 here, I mean, it doesn't really look too different from the final product. Just has a different name. You still see the cartridge slot there. So by the time they released this, they must have already known they were going
They were moving away.
They must have already known they were going with cartridges and shit.
I remember seeing a Nintendo disc drive fucking prototype.
If there was that, I can't find it. Oh, wait, maybe this? No, that's not it. Okay, so there might have been that. I can't personally find the thing.
I don't think it ever
like
got
that.
Out of the prototype phase.
But I kind of remember seeing maybe something that was a CD thing too in like in Nintendo Power. But this is the only thing I can find in terms of Ultra 64.
And it looks pretty similar to.
And
the
you can see,
N64.
I mean, it looks pretty much the same as what happened, just different logo
and
shit.
That very decision is really what made the difference. I feel honestly in this in the console wars between the 64. And the PlayStation 1, because the cartridge staying cartridge-based just cost Nintendo so much in terms of what they could do.
So limiting.
So let's take a look at some of the technical specs, not that we understand, but someone out there does. Nintendo 64 CPU type, MIPS 64-bit RISC CPU.
RISC.
Yeah, probably pronounced. I mean, I'm just going to spell it out because I don't know what's words.
The clock speed was definitely good for the time.
So MIPS and RISC.
So 93.75 megahertz.
Clock speed, yeah, 93.75 megahertz there. Memory, 36
kilobytes.
Wow.
Oh, wow, or dude.
Kilobits, sorry.
Is it mbits?
Oh, megabits,
right? That's, wow. Transmission speed, maximum of 400-500 megabits per second. Okay. Co-processor, RCP, SP, sound and graphics processor, and DP Beta, Pixel Drawing Processor Incorporated. Co-processor clock speed, 62.5 megahertz. Picture resolution, 256 by 224 to 640 by 45
I mean,
dots.
So those resolutions today would just seem...
Right.
I mean, downright awful.
I mean, that's a... I mean, my YouTube thumbnails are fucking way higher resolution than that.
But this is 96,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, sure. Of course. Flicker-free interlaced mode support. Color is 32-bit RGBA pixel color frame buffer support. Graphics processing functions, Z buffering, anti-aliasing, realistic texture mapping, dimensions.
So these are all settings that
these are just,
last,
you know,
the
dimensions last, of the actual system.
That last one, the graphics processing functions, a lot of those are still like things in games that you can tweak today. So
the
anti-aliasing and shit.
From what I read, the CPU architecture was pretty brilliant. It just wasn't there yet.
So then, this is a kind of a look inside the console, you know, beyond just
the guts.
This is just the guts of it. And it's the same basic information about what was inside it. But, you know, it's just kind of cool to look at what's actually inside, you know?
Yeah.
So here's the actual system beyond just the outer shell.
Just the board, capacitors and shit.
Yep.
Basically, you know, just like a motherboard and all the shit you need to run this fucking the games you'd want to play.
Pretty interesting stuff. So let's talk a little about Sony, because they were, of course, the other competitor. So in 1988, Sony entered into an agreement with Nintendo to develop a CD-ROM attachment known as the Super Disc for the soon-to-be-released Super Nintendo.
Dude,
so,
look that up.
So yeah,
Nintendo Super Disc.
Nintendo Super Disc. So there was supposed to be a CD attachment to the Super Nintendo, basically, like there
like
was
the
for
Sega
CD, yeah, like Sega CD or the.
Oh, they're probably glad they didn't go that
X
route
or whatever the fuck it was. What was it called? Nintendo Super Disc.
So you know
Super
what?
Disc.
Something that Sega doesn't get credit for is they had the right idea, they just didn't make it it was an add-on. And that's why it didn't work. If it just been native to the system, and that's just like that's the, you know, the way you want to play, you know, install games and run your games, it would have been perfect.
By the time they released a native optical system, the PS1 was already there. So
yeah,
it's just like market share was gone. Everybody had already had a PS1. Why are you going to go get a Dreamcast or whatever?
Well, what they did the Sega Saturn, and that just did not get any library. It was kind of it was like Windows Phone games. You know, it's like, did they exist? Sure. Did anyone want to buy it or play them? No.
I can't tell if I'm looking at, I mean, this looks like the Nintendo controller, so I don't know if this is the Super Disc here, but, or if this is an early prototype of the PlayStation, because it says PlayStation on it, but maybe that was something they were toying with? I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly we're looking at here, but
this looks like an early PlayStation here.
Yeah, but you see the controller there is a Super Nintendo controller, and this seems to be okay. So this is the Nintendo PlayStation prototype.
Okay.
Wow.
So this was originally so they were developing this as like, hey, this is going to be our new system. It's going to be the Nintendo PlayStation. You know, it's got Sony slapped all over it here.
So really, I mean, all these consoles are racing towards being able to use CDs.
But the point here, whatever the hell this thing is, or whatever sort of thing it falls on in terms of the development, is that PlayStation and Sony were trying to work together to create something, and they were calling
PlayStation and Sony. I think you mean Nintendo.
No, not PlayStation and Sony. I mean, Nintendo and Sony were trying.